Let us pray together using the printed words of our prayer of illumination. The Lord be with you. God of new beginnings and unexpected encounters, open our eyes and ears that we might be transformed by your word today. Amen. Our first Testament lesson is from 2 Samuel 19, lines 18b through 23. You may follow along with the reading on page 294 of your pew Bible in the Old Testament. David's mercy to Shimei. Shimei, son of Zerah, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan and said to the king, "May my lord not hold me guilty or remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king not bear it in mind, for your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, see, I have come this day, the first of all the house of Joseph, to come down to meet my lord the king." Abishai, son of Zeruiah, answered, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" But David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should today become an adversary to me? Shall anyone be put to death in Israel this day? For do I not know that I am this day king over Israel?" The king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king gave him his oath, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. We pick up with our scripture reading. We are in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18, verses 21 through 27, and Jesus has been teaching, as is often the case in Matthew, and he picks up here teaching about forgiveness. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church or community sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. And then Jesus tells this parable. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents, and that's the equivalent of 15 years worth of salary. So we're talking an extraordinary amount of money. When that person was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions so that payment could be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him saying, 'Have patience with me and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave the debt." The word of the Lord. I want to begin with two stories this morning. The first story, and both these stories are about friends of mine in my former congregation, both of whom are now deceased. But the first one is about a friend of mine named Ron. Ron was a Navy veteran, and in the Navy, he learned to do underwater demolition and welding. And so when he got out of the Navy, he found a partner, and together they started a business where that's what they did. And they built it into a very successful business. They had all sorts of equipment, they had employees, they had a great reputation for the work that they did. And so one morning he was at home before heading out to work, and the phone rang, and it was one of his suppliers. And the supplier said, "Ron, I'm not sure what's going on, but the check you sent me bounced." Ron was shocked that he and his partner kept several hundred thousand dollars in the bank. They knew they needed it for in terms of cash flow. It was sort of retirement. And he said, "Well, I'm sure it's just a bank oversight. I'll take care of it." So when the bank opened at 9, and this was long before online banking, he went in to see his banker, and And he said, you know, hey, what's going on? Got a call from my supplier that this check bounced. And the banker said, well, of course it did. You have no money in your accounts. And Ron said, what do you mean? Well, your partner came in and said that you were changing banks, and he took everything. Well, the partner didn't change banks, or if he did, Ron never found out where he changed it to. The partner took all of the cash, everything they had, and vanished. Suddenly, Ron couldn't pay his employees. He couldn't pay the loans on his equipment. He couldn't borrow enough to make it. And finally, he simply had to declare bankruptcy, lost his home, the business, everything, wiped him out. That's story number one. Story number two is Margaret. Margaret was a lovely woman. I met her in her late 60s. She had been a nurse all of her life, and I met her when she was a widow. And she and her husband, not really sure what her husband did, but they had been very frugal in their lifestyle. They had saved tons of money. They didn't have children to send to college. So they saved a little more than some of us for their retirement. And so when her husband died, she had to decide what to do with what she was earning as a nurse, and she decided they'd just stick with their investment person, their investment broker, who was a great guy, and they loved him. And so finally she hit 70 and decided, okay, I'm done. I'm going to retire. So she called up the broker and said, okay, this is how much I know I can withdraw from my account each month. So just if you'll just let's set this up automatically and we'll pay it out. Not a problem, he said. First month, check was there. Second month, check was there. Third month, it was late. So she called him up and said, so what's going on? Where's my check? And he said, oh, just an oversight probably. I'll get it to you. A few days later it came. Month four, again no check. She calls up his office. Phone's disconnected. Goes to his office. The other people in the office, the other investment people, said, oh, no, he closed down his business and left. Well, it turns out that they'd been investing their whole life with someone who was running a Ponzi scheme, and she was broke. Not a dime. He'd spent it all, he'd hidden it all. And at the age of 70, she had to go back to work. Two very similar stories, but with two very different outcomes. One of these people ended up being incredibly bitter for the rest of their lives, while the other person found this just ineffable joy in life. And the difference was forgiveness. Last week, Pastor Bethany talked about God's forgiving us, that God has this unconditional forgiveness for us. And what that means is that if God unconditionally forgives us, we are supposed to unconditionally forgive others who have harmed us. And biblically, the way it's described is if someone has sinned against us, meaning they've hurt us, betrayed us, and so we're supposed to unconditionally forgive them as well. Which I think many of us find a hard thing to do. But before I talk about what that looks like or how we go about offering unconditional forgiveness, I want to, talk about what forgiveness is not. Because I think a lot of us have, I'm getting over a cold. A lot of us have a misunderstanding about what forgiveness is. So let me be clear. Forgiveness is not pretending someone hasn't hurt us. It is not excusing their behavior. It is not allowing them to continue hurting us. None of those things are forgiveness. And I say that because had I gone just a little earlier in Matthew in Matthew, what would have happened is we would have read Jesus talking about how we're supposed to handle someone who sins against us. And Jesus lays out a process for dealing with someone who has harmed us. Sorry. And this is the way Jesus describes it. He says, if someone has sinned against you, if someone's hurt you, the first thing you are to do is to go to them, tell them what they've done, and ask them to make amends, to quit doing it, to stop and to make things right. If that doesn't work, you go get a friend, a mutual friend, and you and that mutual friend go to that person and you say, okay, you need to make amends, you need to make it right, you need to quit doing it. And if that doesn't work, then you get the elders of the community to go with you, and the elders of the community and your mutual friend and you, you go and you talk to this person and you do the same thing. And if that doesn't work, then you get the entire community to go. And if that doesn't work, then you treat them as an outsider, because what that means is they don't understand what it means to love God and love neighbor. And they've become a cancer in the life of the community, bringing sin, harm, pain. So see, forgiveness is not ignoring, pretending, allowing things to continue. So what is forgiveness? So to understand forgiveness, I want to give you a visual image. Wow. So, how many of you have ever driven by a chemical plant, a refinery, anything like that, with big tanks, pipes? Okay, most of us, right? You almost can't go in and out of Detroit without driving by at least one. All right. So, here's the image. Think of a big tank. When I worked in the petrochemical industry, we called them vessels. Or if you watch Star Trek, vessels. So you have this big vessel, this big tank. On the bottom of the tank is a line on one side that brings in the product, okay? On the other side of the tank is another line in which the final product is sent out. All right, got that? Big tank, line in, line out. Now, two other things. The first is that there's a third line, which is also an input on the top of the tank. All right, big tank, line in, line out, another line into the top. The final image that I want you to have is that there's a manhole cover on the side of the tank. Almost every vessel, every tank in a plant has a manhole cover, because sooner or later you have to go in and clean it, you have to get stuff out, you have to make it ready, especially if you're using new product. All right. Got it? Got tank, lines, line. All right. Now, the way the world is supposed to work, life is supposed to work, is that the input, the product that comes into our lives, and that's what the tank is. The tank is our souls. It's our inner being. It is our self. It is our spirit. It is who we are. All right? That's the vessel. Now, the line coming in is the love of God. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that this whole journeying after Jesus begins with believing that God loves us. And so what happens is God pours God's love into us, into our vessels. And what happens is it goes through this process and it becomes what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And all of that gets built up in the tank and then it flows out into the world. And so we go out into the world filled with the love of God that's been transformed into these gifts, and we spread light and sunshine and joy and make the world a better place. That's the way it's supposed to work. But then along comes someone who hurts us, who betrays us, who steals all the money from the business, who steals the money we thought we were going to retire on, who sins against us. And the instant that happens, something happens automatically. Remember, there was the other input line from the top? There's a valve on that. There's a valve on that. And the instant we are hurt, that valve opens. And what pours into our souls is the toxic mess of hate, anger, vindictiveness, fear, hurt, betrayal. That it's automatic. We don't have to think about it. It just happens. Have any of you had someone hurt you and suddenly you feel different inside? Right? See, it just, that valve opens and it pours in. And I call it a toxic mess because that's what it is. It's like a toxic chemical that begins to eat away at the inside of our souls. And what it does is it plugs up that input line from God. Suddenly that love of God, it's like it's been shut off. Because this toxic goo is so heavy and so thick that it just begins to take over our insides. And then that's what comes out, that output pipe. No longer are we putting out love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and kindness. We're putting out anger and hurt and hatred and vindictiveness and vengeance. And my guess is we've all run into people like that, or we've seen ourselves like that, right? People who just seem to spread this anger at life. All right, with that as the image then, what's forgiveness? Here you go. Forgiveness is what happens when we climb to the top of that vessel, when we climb to the top of that tank, and we shut off the valve that allows the toxic sludge in. We consciously decide that we will no longer allow our lives to be filled with hatred and vengeance and fear. And then we climb back down off the top of the tank and we take that manhole cover off and we go into that tank and we begin to clean out that toxic sludge. And we do this by prayer. We do this by meditation. We do this by listening to and hanging out with our friends who support us and love us. We do this maybe through counseling. But we do the hard work of cleaning out all of that junk that is inside of us. And I say that, my friends, is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the person who has hurt us. Forgiveness is self-work. It is self-work. That's why it is unconditional. It's unconditional, forgiveness is, because it doesn't have anything to do with that person. It has to do with us. And I say that as well because the in Greek, the word to forgive literally means to throw out, to get rid of, to empty out. That's what forgiveness is. See, forgiveness is emptying out these vessels of our souls of all of that junk, that toxic mess. Because when we do that hard work of forgiveness, of setting aside, throwing out, two things happen. Two amazing things happen. The first thing that happens is that pipeline from God gets unclogged. And suddenly that love of God begins to fill our lives again. And the process within us once again creates love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's what we begin to pour out into the world again. That was Margaret. Margaret did that hard work. She did that hard work of forgiveness, of working at getting rid of all of that junk within her, and she just had this amazing spirit. I mean, I'm listening to this woman who has lost everything, and she's still in her mid-70s having to work just to really put food on the table, and she's like, life is great! And it was that way because she forgave. Ron, on the other hand, never did forgive. And to his dying day, he was miserable, unhappy, angry. So that's the first thing forgiveness does, is that it allows us to be filled with the love of God again. The second thing it does is it makes reconciliation possible. See, because so often when we think about forgiveness, we say, well, how can we forgive someone if they haven't apologized to us? Apology, what it does is it allows reconciliation. Forgiveness precedes. Forgiveness, when we clean out, precedes and makes reconciliation possible. And you see that in both of the stories this morning. So this guy, Shimei, by the way, great name. Great working with the names, Shaheen. Shimei hated King David. And so when King David was driven from his throne by his son Absalom and was forced to flee the capital, Shimei is out on the road throwing stones at David, cursing him, saying, you deserve this. But when David's victorious and David comes back, listen to what Shimei says. May my Lord not hold me guilty or remember how your servant did wrong on the day the Lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king not bear it in mind. In other words, what Shimei is saying is, David, will you take that hatred and that anger that was in your mind as you were leaving, and will you take it and cast it off? Will you forgive me? And David does, because he'd done the work of forgiveness. He'd gotten rid of that while he was out battling Absalom. And the second piece, the second story that Jesus tells of that king, what he says the king does when the slave confesses and asks for forgiveness and acknowledges what he's done wrong, the king forgives the debt. Think about the debt. He takes that debt and he literally sets it aside. That's reconciliation. And the only way the king could have done that was through forgiveness. You and I are called as followers of Jesus to offer unconditional forgiveness. And it is possible. It isn't easy, because it's unnatural, because the natural thing, as I said, is to let all of that junk flow into our lives and take over. The unnatural thing is to clean it out and to let God take control again. But that's what we're called to do. And so that's my challenge to you all. My challenge to you all is to be a Margaret. To be a Margaret. That when you feel that hate and anger and taking you over, do the work, set it aside, and let the love of God fill you once again, so that perhaps you can not only find joy, but maybe, just maybe, reconciliation could take place. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of your forgiveness of us. Help us to do the hard work of setting aside all that keeps us from reconciling with others. Help us to forgive as well. In Christ's name, amen.
What fills your hearts with joy? Your family? The work that you have done or do? The people you meet? The people that have helped you? The people that you help? Let our hearts be filled with the joy and love of God as we reach out and help others through our gifts of our time, our talent, and our tithes.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, you give us opportunities to reach out to others in love, in friendship, in forgiveness, in service. Accept our gifts as we accept your opportunities. Use them all to the glory of your name and to do the work of justice and grace in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, let us pray. Compassionate God, we praise you for so much, especially this day, that you are a God of forgiveness. You offer us forgiveness, you free us from death that sin would bring to us, and you lift the burden of worry and fear from our shoulders. You make us new and set us off into the world to hold out forgiveness to others. Empower us this day and the week ahead to be children of the light, forgiving others even when it's hard, when we don't want to, when we aren't sure we know how. May this time of worship with you and our prayers here and in the days ahead reshape us to be people who forgive 70 times 7. Thank you, Lord, for this time and when we grow in knowledge and love of you. We're often so caught up in our daily lives, we think of you as an afterthought. Help us to put you first in our lives, remembering your great love for us and letting it direct us to share that love with others. Lord, we pray for our leaders. May they hold their power gently and always with an eye towards your healing, loving leadership. We pray for those who serve us in the military, law enforcement, emergency services, and medicine. This day we lift up to you those engaged in helping to manage the outbreak of the coronavirus. May their decisions be wise, and may they be safe. We lift up to you those who are seeking employment, those who are dissatisfied with their lives and aren't sure why, those who have been hurt by those closest to them. We pray for those who are ill in mind or body, those who feel isolated and unseen, and those who have failed yet again. We pray also for those who cannot forgive others for the pain that they have caused. May they find a way forward that heals them and lets the hurts they have suffered ease while making them stronger, wiser, and a source of good for others. Lord, there is so much for us to lift up to you. The names on our prayer slips, the names written in our hearts, the hurts so deep that they're hard to think about, let alone name. But we know that you know them all. We lift all this up to you, asking you to accept our requests and further those that are in accordance with your purpose. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Yes, we are Presbyterians, and we can clap on the beat. I will go out to greet those who need to leave, but I encourage all members, if you would stay, members with children. Your children are up in Red Sea watching a movie. I don't anticipate this being a long meeting, but this is our annual meeting. We have some things to do, but also, for those of you who may not be aware, we are a corporation, and this is our annual corporate meeting. So, and now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen.
Just life is too complicated these days. Yeah. No, I know.